the microphone off. That's okay. He's not only my Redeemer and he's my Savior, but he's also the giver of sweat. Man, I am burning up. Thank you, Jesus. It's not that it's not nice in here. It's just the Holy Spirit's all over me. Woo! I'm telling you, amen. Somebody's going to get set free today. Somebody's going to get set free today besides me. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Woo! We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 10. And for those of us that have been through divorce, this is some of our most favorite scriptures in the Bible. But you know what? God is good, and he's going to take care of us. Amen? And he's going to show us the truth. And what does the truth do? The truth sets us free. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we're going to read these scriptures together. I'm going to read them to you. But starting in verse 10, now, as I was going to think, and that's okay, because there is a little correction that needs to be given here. I mean, the reality of it is that divorce is it's actually lowering a little bit, but it's still about 50% of the people that get married do get divorced, and there's no difference between the world and the church. Isn't that sad? But where you're sitting right now, there needs to be a choice that who the Lord leads into your life, you are going to truly stick with and allow the Holy Spirit to do a transformative work, not only in you, because it's got to start with you, but in your marriage. Amen? Can I hear an amen? All right. So this is what the Word of God says. Now to the married, I commend. Now remember, Paul, he's been given some words of correction, and above that, a few verses before that, Paul gives the criteria for marriage, and then above that, he's basically saying, listen, we need to lift up the father and put him in his rightful place. And so anyway, but this says, now to the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brethren has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, and now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? So these are pretty direct words. And it's just telling us all this stuff that we're not supposed to do. But what when life happens? What happens? What happens when life happens, right? What happens when you find yourself in a situation and circumstance that first of all, you are just emotionally dying in? What do you do in that situation? What do you do if you're in a situation of danger? What do you do if you're in a situation of continually just not being able even to commune with the Father because there's so much tension? I don't have the answers to all of these questions, guys. It's just, let's just have a discussion. Let's talk about this. Let's be honest about this. That all we know to do right now from this day forward is to honor the Father and live in holiness. That's what we can do. Can anybody in this room go back and change the past? Nobody can. Not even God can change the past. But what he can do is he can use the past to prepare us for today so we can have a better tomorrow. The thing is we have all, for the most part, been taught wrong. For the most part, we've had false teachings about where we stand. Let me tell you something. So much of what goes in our life really comes down to, I don't really care if your feelings are hurt or not. It's a choice. Does the enemy come in and bring demonic activity upon us? Yes, but we ultimately have a choice. One, because all the demonic can do is influence us. So we can't blame the demon around the corner. We can't blame what's happened in our past. We can't blame our parents. We can't blame our husband. We can't blame our wife. We can't blame our kids. We can't blame our situation and circumstance. We have to take accountability and be responsible for the choices that we make in life. That is the reality of it. And so you can say whatever you want to say. You can get mad at me if you want to. But let me tell you something. I will stand on the Word of God. You know why? What did we talk about in case you weren't here this morning during Bible study? That's okay, because we'll revisit that lesson later. But let me tell you something. What we talked about is we making the conscious decision that the Word of God is the final authority on everything in life. The final authority. And so what does that do? That takes your emotions and your feelings out of it. You have died to yourself. You've allowed your heart to be transformed, your mind to be transformed, and you be focused on Jesus Christ, and you quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. I don't really give a roar and rip how you feel. You get up and go. That's what it says in Joshua chapter 7. It says, get up. Get up. But you just don't want to know what I've been through. I don't care. Get up. If you just stay there, well, we won't get it. That's a whole nother message. Maybe the Lord's leading me down that path. I don't know. But we'll just go ahead and stick with what we're going on, what's going on right here. So we are talking about a very touchy area this morning, marriage and divorce. Most people, when they get married, they didn't really grasp what they were doing. Many marriages have been entered into almost casually. We think of marriage today, unfortunately, almost like the dating scene. I mean, and it's unfortunate. And especially for those of us, we're going to have real talk this morning, so if I offend you, we can talk later. How about that? But for those of us, we yearn for love and acceptance. And so we did whatever we could do to be accepted in love. And so we were hopping from bed to bed, relationship to relationship, and really just living unholy lives. And through that, we created these bonds, these soul ties that are ungodly. And the thing is this, is if we would have at that time known that the Word of God is the final authority on everything, we would have realized that there were certain times God absolutely loves there to be intimacy. He loves sex. He created all those things for good stuff. He wanted us to enjoy ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. He's not a prude. But the thing is when you mistake sex for love, then what happened is you got a skewed view of that. And when people enter into marriage, so many times it's not because of love, it's because of lust. He's hot or she's hot or whatever the case may be. Or we had issues with our mommy, we had issues with our daddy, and we just wanted to be loved by somebody. Anybody would do. The first person that shows you attention, all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, I get warm fuzzies. Guess what? I get it. I've been alone. I felt lonely. I felt defeated. I felt less than. And I felt like if just anybody would show me attention, anybody would show me love. Woo! Sure feels good. Sure, man. He's calling me. She's calling. She told me that I look nice. He told me I was beautiful. And the reality is that most of us even were used by the enemy to take someone down a wrong path. We didn't even know it. Out of ignorance, we just fell into it. We did whatever the world said to do. And unfortunately, the church did not come around you. And for those of us that are a little bit older, there's just certain things that used to not be talked about in the church. Let's just lay it out there. We didn't talk about sex. We didn't talk about homosexuality. We didn't talk about any of that stuff because, man, if we don't talk about it, that means it's not there. Hey, guess what? People have very real feelings and very real emotions, and they have placed their life upon what they think they feel and who they think they are. And so people enter into a marriage with the wrong idea of what marriage is. Marriage is not a warm fuzzy. It is a covenant. Not only between you and that person, but you and God. I didn't think it was going to take that turn, but I guess it did, and it's okay. Most of us didn't even understand that marriage is not just a commitment, but a covenant. This is a physical, emotional, and spiritual union. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus said, "So then they no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." Jesus actually was quoting out of Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. But if you go back a few scriptures in Genesis, it talks about Eve, how Eve was created. These are very familiar scriptures to us. But in my research, I came across something very interesting. The word that you translate as rib out of Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 and 23 was actually the word tesila. Tesila, which does not mean rib. It means side or half. Now follow with me. This is good or good. This is really good stuff. All right? Because everybody wants to think about this little rib thing. No. Listen. But it means the side or half. The description of the woman made from man's rib has led to the mistaken conclusion that women are inferior to men because they originated from one small part of a man. When God takes one tesila from the man to make a woman, Eve comes from the entire side of Adam's body, not one single rib. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created. Adam's own words clarify that Eve came from one of his sides when he declares of his wife, "Finally, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Had Eve been created from man's rib alone, Adam would only have been able to say that she was bone of my bone. As Adam's bone and flesh, the woman are man's other half. When man and woman cleave to one another and return to being one flesh, as it speaks of in Genesis 2:24, the two halves of humanity are brought back together. I thought this was amazing and a beautiful thing. So the thing is this, is when man and woman come together, that's the original design. And you know why? When people, that's okay, let him. Let him, brother. I'm telling you, we let kids do anything in here. If he wants to get up here and preach, he can get up here and preach. That's all right. This is what the Bible said. Let me just make this little side note. The Bible said, let the little children come unto me. Not shove them off in a corner in a nursery. If they're going to know how to worship, they got to see you worship. If they're going to have to know how to receive the word, they got to watch us receive the word. We are modeling what these little guys are going to be. And let me tell you, this next generation, they are the power generation, guys. Let me tell you something. There's a fire inside of them. And even though he might be little, let me tell you something. God can use him and will use him if his parents continue to lead him down the right path. Oh, what a responsibility that is. So this is the deal. Just as man and woman came together as one, the reason that when we were without Christ, we were constantly searching for something to fill in is because we had a missing part, and that was God. And in that missing part, we tried to fill that with love, what we thought was love, what we thought was acceptance. With other people, because we had no frame of reference, and most of our parents taught us wrong. Most of our parents taught us wrong. And guess what? That's why the Lord has brought you into this house. Because guess what? We all need to go through some correction. Believe me, I've been being corrected a lot here lately. And there are some people in this room that I need to ask forgiveness for, because you've seen me act like that before. You've heard me say things that I shouldn't say. You've seen me do things I shouldn't do. And guess what? I need to come to you, and we need to make things right. But let me tell you something. This is a house of love, but it's also a house of correction. Because what are we determining? What are we making our judgment? That the Word of God is the final authority on everything. Once you do that, your emotions and feelings get out of it. Now, what do we do with these scriptures that are making us so uncomfortable? The definition of covenant, a formal, solemn, and binding agreement, a written agreement, or a promise usually under seal between the two. A promise by pledge to enter a binding contract. Now, interesting in the definition, the Websters didn't even realize they were being spiritual. But it said, by a seal. By a seal. That this marriage has been sealed by God. So let's just give an example. Let's just say this. All right? Let's say that last week, you husbands were a bonehead. And you said some things that you shouldn't have said. And all of a sudden, your wife, you know, she's not liking you very much. And so you're sitting over in the corner, and everybody in the world has told you what a failure you are. And then her saying something to you, that triggered something in you, and so this anger built up. And as this anger built up, the next thing you know, you're not only mad at yourself, but you're mad at her for calling you out. And so it starts this vicious cycle. And if you don't understand that this marriage has had been sealed by the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden you have the right to act like, well, you know, so you do that to me, I'm going to do that to you. It's just that we have this attitude of give and take, which is so ungodly, guys. Let me tell you something. You need to show as much grace to other people as God has shown to you. You need to show as much mercy to other people as God has shown to you. You need to give as much forgiveness as has been given to you. You need to walk in a place where you're not offended by what everybody says. And let me tell you something. If you're doing something wrong, you better expect some correction, because if people love you, then they're going to give you correction. They want you to lead, men. They want you to lead. They want you to step up and take your spiritual place. And let me tell you something. Once that order in the house is established, then God is going to open up the floodgates, and that ministry, that thing that you've so desired to do for God, women, God will flood that to you. You will no longer have to tell people what you're doing. God is going to lift you up, and people are going to come to you for what He's doing through you, but you have to be in order of what God says is the order. That's the way it has it. Hey, buddy, you want to come up here? Or are you going to give me that? Thank you. You want it back? Okay, there you go. All right, so this is the deal. As we're looking at this and we understand what covenant is, let's just look and see what verse 10 says once again. Verse 10 and 11. It says, now to the married. So he's talking to you, married foe. Yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does, let her remain unmarried to be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. So, does this apply in any and every situation? There are some biblical reasons for divorce. Okay, one is adultery, and one is death. But then also, how do you define adultery? Everybody's immediately going to go to, like, sex. But adultery is anything that you put your affections on besides her. So if you're addicted to porn, if you are addicted to rage and anger, and you have put your wife in danger, if you put your husband in danger, you know what? That is a form of adultery. I don't care what you say. Adultery means that you have put your affections other places. You have come into a relationship with something else other than your spouse. Okay, some people can disagree with me on that, and that's okay. That's all right. You can, and I can even see where you could go to the scriptures and say, but how the scriptures define adultery is it has to do with sex. Okay, I get that. But if you're spending time away from your wife with someone else, and then your affections are no longer toward her, an affair is an affair. So it's really, I think that we need to realize that. So Paul was talking to married people. He was addressing the people in Corinth because divorce had become such a common and pretty much any excuse would do. They, people were just handing out divorces. If the husband didn't like the way the wife was dressing, he could divorce her. I mean, there was all kinds of weird stuff. The husbands were kind of like, well, they were going and hooking up with the prostitutes in the temple across the street. That's what was going on also. And the husbands were like, well, I like the prostitute better than I like my wife. So they were just like, yep, my wife, you know, her hair's not fixed right today. I want a divorce. Yeah, she cooked some really raunchy food. She gets a divorce. You know, you women couldn't do anything right. And anything you did, if the husband decided he didn't want you anymore, he could just throw you away. And so there was correction coming from Paul to this community of believers. We have to understand what this letter is. Remember, I want to remind you of this. 1 Corinthians is actually the second letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. We don't know what's in the first letter. We don't know what was addressed in the first letter. So, you know, we just don't know. But then you read on down into verse 12. And this is what it says. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. Any brother. So that is showing that there is a spiritual leading that the man needs to do. And if the wife is not following the Lord, does that mean you just let them go? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You have a responsibility. You made a covenant and a commitment to the Lord that you were going to lead. When you said you were going to be a husband, you were also saying, whether you said it out loud or not, you were saying you were going to be the spiritual leader of your house. And let me tell you something, guys. Let me just give this little caveat. If you are a husband, you are spiritually leading. You are spiritually leading. Now, you might not be spiritually leading to Jesus, but you are leading. You are the one that sets the temperature for the family. You are the one that your wife puts her faith and trust in. You are supposed to be a provider, not only financially, but emotionally and spiritually. So I don't want to hear out of your mouth what she's not doing for you if you're not doing the right thing. I don't want to hear you complaining. I don't want to hear you whining. Well, you just don't understand. My wife doesn't do this for me. So, be a man. Step up, do the right thing. Quit making excuses. If we were in the fellowship hall, I'd probably say something else, but get off your booty and do something right. Quit making excuses. So then verse 13 and 14, it says, and woman who has a husband who does not believe, and if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. By now, they are holy. So what do you do if you are the wife of in a marriage and the husband does not believe? That does not change your relationship with God. You have a responsibility to foster that relationship with God, you and him, and your example will bring them to the Lord. It says the kindness of the Lord brings them to repentance. And so you need to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in your day, every day. Every day. And you're like, but he doesn't want me to come to church. He doesn't want me to give. He doesn't want me to do this or that or whatever. Okay. What does that have to do with your personal relationship? What does that have to do with your Bible study? What does that have to do with reaching out to a sister and saying, hey, I need prayer? Hey, there's plenty of church online you can watch online, whatever the case may be. Let me tell you something. Living the Christian life is not about coming up here and listening to me talk. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here. And I hope that you're getting something out of it. But This is about 2% of the walk with Christ. And I don't have the corner on truth. So you need to be in the Word and learning it yourself. I mean, come on, guys, because this is the deal. 5 years ago, let me just ask you this. 5 years ago, this is the person that you were. And now let's move forward to today. Are you the same person? So I'm just going to, Randy knows I love her, so I'm just going to pick on her. So Randy 5 years ago has been transforming, and it's a different Randy. Now, we still acknowledge and see her as Randy, but she knows that the work that God has done in her life, the Randy of 10 years ago to now is different. The Randy of 15 years ago, the Randy of 20 years ago, God has done a work in her. It's beautiful. We all acknowledge it. We're so grateful for the leadership that she gives here at GMF. She is truly someone that I look up to. I learn from her. I'm grateful for her. She is a wonderful friend, not only to Christy, but she's also a friend to me. And she's a friend to you, and she's willing to walk with you. But I'm telling you something, if you would have walked beside Randy 20 years ago, it would have been a different Randy. Right, Randy? And so the reality of it is let's say that you have been in a yuck situation. Okay, you're a different person today. If the same person today met that person 5 years ago, would you not have made different choices? Of course you would have. Of course you would have. Nobody wants to go down a cruddy path, but sometimes we just make choices, and that's just the way it is. So then we look in verse 15. It says, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart, a brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. He said, listen, if the same standard is not given to the unbeliever as given to the believer. So let's say that in your former life, B.C., before Christ, you went through divorces, you went through, whatever you went through. Well, guess what? You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. So are you going to be held accountable for the B.C. you? I don't believe so, because it all was taken care of at the cross. And the reality of it is you're going to still go to heaven, even though B.C. you, that sounds funny, before Christ you were on the path to hell. Okay, now A.C., after Christ, you're on a path to heaven. There's going to be some bumps along the way. You still have to come before the Father and ask for and repent when you find yourself in a situation of sin. But really and truly, what you have to realize is the blood of Christ is enough. He covers you. And once you become a believer, not that this gives you a freedom to sin, but you are covered by the blood of Christ, or you would not be called His child. That's good. I mean, that's good, guys. I mean, thank you, Jesus. I mean, so that gives me some hope. That gives me hope because, you know, my situation, I was living for the Lord and doing all everything like that. And then all of a sudden, my spouse quit supporting me in my ministry. I mean, this is all glory to God. It had nothing to do with me, although the Lord took it all away because I started thinking it had something to do with me. But I had a powerful ministry, and I was being asked to do things with people that you hear on the radio today. I was being asked to do projects with. I mean, it doesn't matter who, but that's the reality of it. And so the thing is I got this big old fat head, and the next thing you know, I was being asked to speak for this conference and that conference. I was at big churches, all this kind of stuff, and then... all of a sudden, you know, I stopped being supported by my wife. The last 11 years of my marriage, my first marriage, she did not even sleep in the same bed with me. So literally, the love died. It was dead. It was not there. Now, did I try to reconcile? Yes, I did. I asked her to go to counseling. I wanted her to go to counseling. I wanted her to do everything. And it was just a big fat no. I mean, it was just a no. And then one day, the old addiction showed back up, and I threw it all away. Literally lost it all. Lost my ministry, lost my family, lost my house, lost my reputation, lost all my friends. And I've told you guys this before, the only one that stuck by me was Johnny and Pat Touchstone at Vine Baptist Church. It's the only ones. They were it. I mean, and when they actually found me, because I separated myself from everybody, and I went into the, I mean, anybody been in that dark place and just numbed up? Anybody? Okay, so you know what that's like. You don't want to see anybody. You don't want to talk to anybody. And if anybody talks to you or actually finally finds how to get to you, you're just ticked off at them for even talking to you. It's just kind of like, hey, let's fight. You know, I don't punch you in the face, in the throat, whatever. You know, I just don't want you to be around. And so you just numb up every day. Every day you just numb up. And then if it eventually catches up with you, and it did. And I had my time in jail. I had my time in rehab. You know, all this kind of stuff. And Johnny and Pat somehow found me. And this is all he said is, "Hey, bro, what are you doing? How'd you get my number?" He's like, "You have the same number." I was like, "Oh, okay." And then he was like, "Well, what are you doing? Sitting at the house? Where do you live? Why do you care?" I mean, I was talking to him this way. And mind you, I was his worship pastor at his church when I twisted. So when I twisted, I just didn't show back up to church. I didn't say bye. I didn't resign. I just quit showing up. They paid me for another month, and I didn't even show up to church one time. That's crazy. And then it was 13 months before he found me. And then this is all he said. He didn't even ask me to church. What a jerk. Didn't even ask me to church. He just said, "Hey, bro, you want to come over to the house and have some burgers?" That's it. I went over there, got a burger. He goes, "All right, man. Well, you need a place to crash?" And, of course, I was couch hopping because I was homeless. You know how it goes? I mean, for those of you that have been in, you know, tough situations, you know what it's like, house to house, you know. Bad, you know, and you go to your friend's house, they mean well, but man, how do you mess up macaroni and cheese? I don't know, but I've got friends that can. You know, it's just like, you know, how do you mess up ramen noodles? I don't know, but they figured it out. But like I said, so I show up to his house, I'm crashing on his couch, he's giving me money for gas and all this stuff. So the whole point to that story is I was living for the Lord, I fell off the map, I went through a divorce, and then I just went from relationship to relationship to relationship, doing everything I could to forget about what God wanted for me. And then in the midst of all of that, the last time I was in jail, I remember the Father coming down and laying down beside me, and he said, "I love you." And he said, "Get up." I said, basically, I've disqualified myself. He said, "Who said? I anointed you and called you for a purpose. Get up. Get up and do what I've called you to do. Walk in your purpose. Walk in your anointing. Do what God has called you to do. Let's go." And I said, who is going to let this guy talk in their church? Who's going to let this guy? Well, somebody did, right? Because I'm standing before you, right? But this is the deal. But you know, I had burned every bridge there was to burn. I burned, and then the road going to the bridge, I blew up, and then the road that was going to the bridge and the car that was on the road, I burned the car too. I mean, you know, it's just like, all right, I'm just not going to pay payments on you. You can just come get it. I mean, who has just forgot life even existed and just blanked out on everything, and the next thing you know, it's 14, 18 months later. I mean, come on. So this is your broken pastor before you. saying that there is hope and God forgives and God restores and God redeems. And no matter what you have gone through, God sees you. So some of biblical reasons for divorce is adultery. Okay, that's in Luke chapter 18, verse 16. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, 1 through 4, there are several reasons given. Now, we do understand that that was underneath the law, but some of the reasons that were given is as an unbeliever, someone being put in danger, those type things, okay? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, for remarriage, the only thing that they say is if death occurs, remarriage is permitted, and if adultery occurs, remarriage is permitted. Okay? So, did you know that God divorced the children of Israel in the Old Testament? It was Luke 16, 18. Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. No problem. So, I mean, the list is pretty short. And some of us just, and most of us that have gone through divorce, I would say that we have met those requirements. But some of us haven't. Some of us just got to where we just didn't like the other person, and we thought of the marriage as like a dating scene. Because ultimately, the laws have gotten pretty loose. At one time, the laws were pretty tight on what constituted marriage being resolved. But now, you know, you can go in and you can just go in for irreconcilable differences. Well, what does that mean? Oh, you like green carpet, I like gray carpet. I mean, it could be anything, right? But what does the Bible say about us? If we remarry and those grounds are not met, are we living in adultery? This is what the Bible says. The answer is complicated, but I want to give you some things to think about. Were you truly a follower of Christ when you divorced or remarried? So just ask yourself that question. If you weren't in line with the Father and in a relationship with Him, you know, those things don't necessarily apply to you. Are you the same person then as you are now? Or has the Holy Spirit transformed your heart? Are you in a different place? You know, when God brought Christy into my life, it was such a beautiful thing. It was so wonderfully unexpected. I was driving around out in Crane at the McElroy Field. I get a phone call from my hairdresser, Billy Sue. And she said, "Hey, Matt, what are you doing?" I was like, "I am out here and I am pumping right now." And she said, "Are you dating anybody?" I said, "Nope." "Do you want to date anybody?" I said, "Nope." And she said, "Well, would you at least like to have someone maybe to eat a meal with every once in a while?" Well, that'd be cool because I got tired of eating alone. And she goes, "Well, I've got this friend named Christy." I was like, "Okay." I said, "What does she look like?" And she took a picture of her with her hair all, you know, and she was like putting color on it. And Christy didn't even know she took the picture. She did one of those. You girls, I know how you are. Did the side picture and you act like the, yeah. And so it was a great angle. You know, all I saw was nostril and hair. But anyway, that's beside the point. But as soon as I saw the picture, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. As soon as. And so then we started texting. You know, the first place that we met face-to-face at, we went to a movie night at Vine Baptist Church. And Matt, being the nice guy that he is, was a complete jerk to Christy. Complete jerk. So we walk in to watch a movie. I've got my mind on other things. My sister had already asked me to eat. I went out. I barely talked to her. And I left her and Kayla at Vine Baptist Church watching a movie with Johnny Touchstone and Billy Sue. And she still answered the phone the next day. I mean, isn't that cool? But the Lord already spoke to me. And He said, "This is who God wants you to be with." I mean, already, and I was like, I don't even know her last name. Her name is Christy. That's all I knew, and she had curly blonde hair. That's all I knew. And now, you know, 48 hours later, I know she has a friend named Kayla. That's pretty much that's how much I knew about her, and that Billy Sue had cut her hair for 17 years. That's it. That is all I knew. Nothing else. And so we're sitting there, and so this is my prayer. I said, Lord, if this is who you want, I want to be the best I can be. I don't want to make the same mistakes the Matt made years ago. Take all of this stuff away from me. Mind you, I was already pastoring. But I'd been addicted to porn since the time I was 14 years old. And at that time, I was 44 years old. I'd have been addicted to porn for 30 years. And I'd just thrown up my hands and said, this is just going to be part of my life. This is going to be the thorn that Paul talks about. I was justifying my sin. And you've done it too, so don't look at me weird. Anyway, but this is the deal. I said, but Lord, take it away. Now, let me tell you, it was not like I was riding in the truck and I got warm fuzzies and I started throwing up and none of that stuff. It wasn't dramatic at all. Alvino, this is the way it happened. I woke up the next morning. I went through the whole day. I got at the end of the day and I thought, I didn't look at porn today. I went another day. I was like, didn't even think about it. All these years later, not one temptation to look at porn again. It was every day. Yeah, that's something to cheer about. Every day. This is why I don't fit with other preachers. I'll just tell y'all that. But every day, porn and masturbation every day. That's what it was. Every day from the time I was 14 till the time I was 44 years old. And God set me free. And I'm telling you, free. Not just a little free, completely free. This is how free I am. If one of you were to walk up to me and ask me what porn site I went to, I can't even give you the names. He wiped it out, all of it. I cannot remember all the pictures that I look at. I can't even think about another woman except for my wife. I mean, is that not super cool, awesome? He can do that for you. And he can set you free, and you can be on a new path. Now, are there some other stuff that I'm still getting to deal with? Oh, yeah. I'm probably going to get a phone call on Monday from Tim, and we're probably going to have a talk, because Tim's my accountability guy, and I have not held up my end of the bargain, and Tim's probably going to give me a call tomorrow, or I might beat him to it because I don't want him to call me. I'm probably going to call Tim tomorrow, and we're going to have a conversation, and he's going to lovingly say, Matt, I told you, if you're struggling, if you will call me, I will pray for you. And I have not done that. Brother, in front of everybody, ask your forgiveness. There we go. So this is the thing, but that's what life, doing life together, looks like, guys. We have to be willing to say, listen, Tim, I was wrong, and you were right, and I should have called you when I was tempted. I should have, but I didn't. But you know why I didn't? Guilt and shame. So that's what so many of us have been carrying all these years, the guilt and the shame of our divorces, of our failures, of our addictions, of our stinking thinking. I mean, my goodness, you were saying, but Matt, you wouldn't be talking to me, you wouldn't be trying to encourage me if you knew the thoughts that went through my head on the daily. But let me tell you something. God has not given me the ability to read your mind, thank God. I'm so glad. I don't know what's going through your mind. Woo! I'm glad. I'm so glad, and you better be glad that you're not, you know, two-way street, right? But this is the thing. If you're struggling with something, do not walk in guilt and shame and call up one of your brothers and sisters and say, listen, I need, at the very least, for you to pray for me, but has the Lord given you any steps to help you navigate through this? Because the Bible says you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have hard times. You're going to have to make a decision. And sometimes it is a choice. No matter what your body is screaming for you to do, you have to choose, today I will be obedient. Today I will choose life over death. Today. So is divorce... an unforgivable sin? No, it is not. If you have come to the Father and you have asked for forgiveness, He will forgive. You may even have to go to your ex and ask for forgiveness, but I'm telling you, it can be okay because the blood of Jesus is enough. The blood of Jesus is enough. All you have to do is repent. You need to break those soul ties that were created in those relationships. Okay? All right, so if you're not sure what that means, if there is anyone that you have had sexual relations with that you have not brought to the Father and broken those soul ties, that needs to be done. All right, another thing, if there's anybody that you have had an extremely emotional relationship with, like someone that has spoken harshly to you or come on you, they've come at you in a way that has made you feel bad about yourself. It's just an unhealthy relationship and an unhealthy soul tie. All right, so that needs to be broken in Jesus' name. And all it comes down to is you call upon the name of Jesus. He can break that. I mean, yeah, I could give you prayers, but, you know, just talk from your heart. Say, Lord, I don't want to be connected to this person anymore. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, break it. And He will. Guess what? Because the demons have to submit to the name of Jesus. I think about this, you know, I laugh about this. I joke about this. And I don't mean it to be mean or anything, but I often say that I've been delivered and set free from the Baptist Church. But this is the deal. I learned a whole lot of hymns. I learned a whole lot of old school hymns that in the Baptist Church that I'm very grateful for. And this song came to my mind as I was praying this morning. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. Man, I didn't want to cry. But folks, you can be set free. You don't have to live in torment. You don't have to walk in guilt and shame. And if something has held you back, like your divorce, Satan's a liar. He's a liar. And you have not been connected with this community of believers for no reason. And if it's one time, if it's 20 times, if it's 1,000 times, it doesn't matter, because the blood of Jesus cuts across all time and He can take care of this right here, right now, if it's the one time and only time you come in here. It's, I mean, and guess what? We're all part of the kingdom of God anyway. I don't care what the label on a building is, because that's all this is a building. You are the church. We're a community of believers that are striving for the kingdom of God. That's what's going down here. And so we're just gonna be grateful for that. And the Lord is bringing great and mighty things to us as a community of believers. You can be a part of that, and I want you to be a part of that, but I don't want you bringing your baggage. I don't want you bringing your baggage. And so I want you to lay it down. I mean, some of you have been in boats and stuff, and boats are great as long as it's not lopsided and if there's too much weight, the boat sinks. And so I want you to get in the boat, but I want you to leave your crap on the shore. You know what I mean? I mean, I love you, but you don't have to live this way anymore. You don't, right, Tim? You don't have to live this way. And I don't want you to live this way. And God wants to set you free. And He wants you to live victorious. He wants you to be an overcomer. And so what is my statement about marriage and divorce? My statement about marriage and divorce is, yeah, If we're going to marry, it needs to be a godly way. If we've been through a divorce, let's repent. Let's make things right. Let's live and walk a holy life from this point forward. Because we can't change what's already happened. Okay? So we're going to have a time of commitment and a time of prayer. If you want to be prayed for, Tim will be up here to pray with you. Randy will be up here to pray. Ray and Katie can pray with you. If you feel led to go pray for anybody else, please just do that. And so nobody thinks I'm pointing them out or picking on them. I do have a word for somebody in this room. So I'm going to turn my back to you, and I'm going to say it to the wall. But you're going to know this word is for you, okay? You're going to know it, and the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. What you have a choice is either you're going to respond or you're not. Now, if you choose not to respond, your life is not going to change, and you will continue to walk in defeat. So just and for the rest of you, be praying that whoever needs this will receive it, and that their hearts would lean toward Jesus so he can transform their heart. Okay? All right. So there's someone in this room that continues to walk in guilt and shame, but as they're walking in guilt and shame, they also have been playing the blame game. They've been blaming their situation and circumstance on everybody else. They're mad all the time. They're upset all the time. And as soon as they feel the touch of God, they begin to run. And they don't want to embrace this truth. They don't want to take responsibility. But I'm telling you something. God is telling you today you have a choice. You can either continue to run and live in torment and shame, or you can rise above it and you can be victorious. All God wants from you is a yes, Lord. That's all he wants. He wants a yes, Lord. Here I am, and then I say to you, watch what he does. Watch what God does once you say yes. Once you get out of the way, once you quit your pity party, once you quit blaming everybody and everything in your life, God is going to lift you up, and he's going to put you on a path. But it is a choice. It is a choice, and you know who I'm talking to. You are loved, you are cherished, you have value. Quit playing the pity party. And let me tell you something, you also need to quit living a life of lies. There needs to be some integrity that raises up inside of you, and you need to be honest with yourself, you need to be honest with God, and you need to be honest with the ones around you. All it takes is saying, you know what? I have not told the truth in this area. I ask your forgiveness. I don't have answers on why I chose to lie. But today is the day that I will begin to walk in truth. Whew. Boy, I don't like giving those kind. But the Lord wants you to listen. And you weren't here for no reason. So I'm going to ask William to put on some music for us. Tim, if you'll come up and help me, Randy, Ray, and Katie. And if anybody wants prayer, we'd love to pray for you. Precious Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We ask you just to do the work that only you can do, God. And we love you. And we thank you for being who you are. Father, may we chase after your face and not after what you have. May we chase after you, Father. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen.